1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. And thus ends the evening lesson tonight.
All right, if you'll keep your place there in your Bibles, we're going to think about the spiritual gift of faith, which, as you'll see when we go through, it's a little bit different from the way we tend to talk about faith and what makes us right with God. But before that, let me remind you of a wonderful little section in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis's wonderful Chronicles of Narnia. There's a moment where these children are living in a land that has been always winter and never Christmas for a long, long time, and it's beginning to thaw. And the explanation for the thawing beginning to happen and is that Aslan, the lion, is, quote, on the move. And so these children are getting excited that what does that mean? And remember, they're in a land where it's been always winter and never Christmas. And they hear a sleigh coming, and it's Father Christmas. And he has gifts for these children. And he says, before he gives them their toys, their gifts, he says, these are tools, not toys. These are tools, not toys. And he proceeds to give to Peter. He gives, He gives Peter a sword. He gives Susan a bow and arrow and a horn. He gives Lucy some healing potion and a small dagger. Peter also gets a shield as well as a sword. But just that idea that he says to them, before he gives those things, he says, these are tools, not toys. And he says, the time has come, is near now for you to use them. And so think with me of that vision of what he's saying. He's saying, here are these gifts that are coming to you. They're not for your frivolous enjoyment. They are tools to be used in advancing the cause of what we are doing, namely beating back the evil that is in this world and bringing life and health and peace to all the land. That is a picture, I think, of what spiritual gifts are for. Sadly, in our day, sometimes we talk about them in terms of being like toys. But I think the way that we read the scriptures in Corinthians, Ephesians, and Romans, they're more like tools. They are tools that we use not for our own delight and enjoyment, per se, but for the good of God's people. And so let me just review with you. We've been several weeks in this series, and some of the gifts that have been talked about, these are archived on our website. Wisdom and service, tongues and prophecy. There's been some overview sermons, and I'm going to just give you really quickly a review, and then we'll talk about faith and what it is and what it isn't, and then we'll talk about what to do with this understanding of the gift of faith or the pursuit that you may have of any of these spiritual gifts, what to do moving forward from here. So first, a review. Spiritual gifts have been described by some as an ability that's given by God to meet the needs of the church. Spiritual gifts build up or edify other people. The idea in the Bible is that we are members of each other, and God has given you gifts for the good of this body. That's why they're given to you. I have a nephew who, when he was learning to pray, you know, his prayer was something like, "Bless this food to my tummy." And then his parents tried to, you know, lead him on to say, "Bless this food to the nourishment of my body." And his first response was, "But it's only my tummy that's hungry." He's thinking realistically. He hadn't yet grasped that what happens in the tummy impacts everywhere else. And sometimes we think that our gifts are just for us, and we forget or don't realize God's given each one of us gifts. And those are to be used to bless the whole body and not just one little section that belongs to us. And so gifts are given by God. They're given for the purpose of building up the body. And let me highlight this this evening. They are supernatural. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit. They come from another world. They aren't just somebody studying up and getting good at something. They are literally given by the God who created the world. And he puts those into his people and benefits his people and then the world through those. They are supernatural gifts. J.I. Packer says it like this: "The truth we have to grasp here is that the exercise of our gifts is nothing more nor less than Christ himself ministering through his body to his body, to the Father, and to all mankind. From heaven, Jesus uses Christians as his mouth, his hands, his feet, even his smile. It is through us, his people, that he speaks and acts. He meets and he loves and saves here and now in this world." In Ephesians, Paul writes this: "Christ came and preached to you." But you know what? Jesus never set foot in that area. So what does he mean that Christ came and preached to you? See, Paul has this understanding of the body of Christ and what it means for us to be the body, that to say that Christ was preached there by his body means that Jesus came and preached to you. And so Packer goes on to say, whenever another Christian brings us understanding or encouragement or relief of any need in any form at all, it is Jesus himself who is ministering to us, bringing us these benefits through one another. So that's why Jesus would say, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you give it to me. The supernatural reality of what happens between us under this roof, in our homes, in the world, that the living Lord Jesus Christ is ministering to and through his body, that Christ comes and preaches, that Christ comes and relieves your need, that Christ comes and sits with you when you are hurting, that Christ waits with you through his people. All of these are not a bunch of nice people. It's the living Lord Jesus Christ operating through his people in their hands, in their feet, in their smile, in their prayers, in our words. This is supernatural stuff. So let's do talk about this gift of faith. Now hang with me because I do not want to confuse you. All right, in the Bible, and most of the time that we talk about faith, we talk about something that might be called saving or sustaining faith. It is not by works, but it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Now, In the Bible, it says this. This is what makes a man, woman, or child right with God, that we experience the forgiveness of Jesus by simple faith, by believing what God says is true in His Scripture about Himself, about Jesus, about our need, about His work on the cross. When we believe the revealed Word of God, that He says, this is what's true, and we believe it, that's saving and sustaining faith, and you cannot be a Christian without it. All God's children are saved by faith. Everybody. So we just read in Corinthians, and know we've learned about these varied spiritual gifts, that God doles them out as He sees fit, and that not everyone has every gift. So recognize when we talk about this gift of faith that the Apostle Paul mentions here, that he's not talking about saving faith that makes a person right with Jesus. So here's what that saving or sustaining faith might look like. If you tell me that you're struggling to believe that God has forgiven you everything, and I say to you, Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's God's revealed word, and I speak it to you and challenge you to believe His revealed word. That's saving and sustaining faith. When you're afraid that you may be left alone and someone says to you, He will never leave you nor forsake you. That is God's revealed word, and we challenge one another to believe it. That's saving and sustaining faith. The gift of faith. As Paul talks about it here, I think he's talking about being able to believe God for something that the Bible hasn't necessarily promised would happen. So let me give you some categories. Here's one. We know that it is God's heart to care for orphans and widows. That doesn't mean that every orphanage that gets started takes root and lasts. We know that it is God's will to saturate this world with churches that proclaim the glory of God and the freedom that we find in the gospel of Jesus. But that doesn't mean that every church that opens its doors makes it. And so we have these promises of God that we know that He's going to care for the widow and the orphan. We know He's going to that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. But that doesn't mean that we can know that the orphanage that starts at the corner of 5th and Main or the church that starts on Landau Road is going to make it. And so I think that this is what the spiritual gift of faith is. Let me just read you a couple of definitions. One, it is the supernatural conviction that God will reveal His power or mercy in a special way in a specific instance. Another has said it is the God-given ability to trust God for a certain blessing that is not specifically given in Scripture. I hope you feel, I'd love to ask you every one of them, does it make sense, the difference? The saving faith is God's word has spoken about it, and there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Believe it. The faith that we're talking about, the gift of faith, we know that God loves to heal people. We can't say that unequivocally He's promised to save our friend. You feel, I mean, do you understand what I'm trying to say here? So this gift of faith, I mean, it is a supernatural ability to believe that God's going to act in a certain way. I've thought through this. I don't think that means it always happens in the way that we think it will happen. I think it is God-given, but it doesn't guarantee success. Let me try to give you some examples of this. George Mueller, a German who did most of his ministry in Bristol, he believed that God would care for orphans, and he believed that the way God had called him to witness to the providing God was that he wouldn't tell anybody how much they needed financially, and he would never ask anybody for financial support. He believed that God had called him and had given him a confidence that this is the way he would care for those orphans. And he did. That's the way, the ministry of La Brie for years was operated under the same principle. So it's not totally unheard of, but that was their specific. There's nothing wrong, according to the Bible, with telling somebody, we have this much of bills and we need it. But he had called them and given them this gift of faith in that area. You think also of George Whitefield had such a gift of faith. I've been reading his, something like that. And he just believed that God could save anybody and that his word was always active. And one time he went from England to Georgia, and it was crazy what happened. He led everybody on that ship to Jesus. And it even said he began catechism classes with the sailors. So if you can imagine, we know sailors have always been sailors. And here's George Whitefield being given the gift of faith that God's word goes out with confidence and his spirit worked. He just believed it worked, and it did. And he's catechizing, who made you, to these foul-mouthed, newly recreated in Jesus people. By the time they get to Georgia, the whole ship is singing hymns. Well, there are gifts of faith that God gives, I think, to extend his work in the world. And I think George Mueller is an example of a missionary situation. I think George Whitefield's an example of a missionary situation. But I don't want you to think that that's the only thing for which he gives gifts of faith. When we were living in Gainesville, Florida, I got called, and this happens sometimes when you're starting a church. I got called from somebody I barely knew because they're thinking, this preacher doesn't have a church. He's probably available. And they said, our mother just died. Would you come and lead? It was basically sort of a memorial service in their home. And I kind of stewarded that meeting as they remembered their mother. And I asked them for her Bible before I led this meeting. And this woman believed the promises of God. And she had in her Bible the baptism certificates of those daughters who are now in their 60s asking me to do their... Neither one of these women are believers in Jesus. Neither one of these women is vitally connected to the church. Their mother had been given a gift of faith for their salvation that she never saw realized in this life. Both of those women wound up in months to come becoming believers in the Lord Jesus and being integrated into the life of our church. Through them, I would venture to guess about 10 people became Christians through the work that God had done in them. So you work it back. Here's this mother who had very confident in the promise of God for her daughters. She never saw it, but she was given the gift of faith, and it was realized after she had passed. And then through that, numerous people becoming followers of Jesus. So to be given the gift of faith doesn't guarantee success in our timeline. If I can just talk with you straightforwardly, I have never been utterly convinced that somebody I was praying for was going to be healed. I've never been utterly convinced of it. I've never been given the gift of faith. So I know none of you will ask me to pray for you after this meeting. Now, there's always a first. But do you know what? Since I've been a Christian, I believe with an unswavering reality that I can't describe. If you show me someone who is not connected to Jesus and they become friends with a Christian and they are interested enough to start coming to a Bible study or to services, I have no doubt they will become a Christian. I've just seen it happen too many times, and I know that God works through his people and through his word. And I don't know how to describe that. That on one thing, I have no doubt I have been given the gift of faith to believe that God will work in that way. And yet in another area, I really struggle to believe. And so this is why when the spiritual gifts are talked about in the New Testament to the church, and it says you are lacking no spiritual gift, it doesn't mean you, Lewis Chapman, are not lacking any spiritual gift. You're lacking a lot of spiritual gifts. It means that you, church, are not lacking any spiritual gift. And so the New Testament describes us as being so interconnected and so interdependent that we don't have the full measure of God's gifts except as a body. And he gives to some the gift of faith. And one fellow said, there's probably no other gift of the Holy Spirit that is less permanent in a person's life. And maybe you've seen this even to be true. That God has given you utter confidence about a certain situation, and then years later, it's not still there about a very similar one. The Spirit blows where He wants, and He has His purposes, and He uses us all, and He works through His gifts in that way. I'm going to read for you. Well, let me just talk about the life of this church for a minute. Now, I've been here almost 4 full years. I'm no idiot. I'm sure when y'all decided to build this new building, not everybody was in favor of that. There were a group of people who had a vision and a confidence in something that you could not point in the Bible and say, this is what we're supposed to do. But God had given them a confidence that this is what God was to do in this place at this time. And I didn't know y'all before y'all had that building. But I can just see from being here a few years, it is amazing to me how I see and hear how God has used the gift of faith that He gave to, I don't know how many it started with, but He gave the gift of faith, and now many, many people benefit. That's the idea of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is that He gives the gifts to some and it benefits the all. Or even think, there is a church called Young Meadows out on, is it Taylor Road that it's on? No, Vaughn Road. Okay, it's on Vaughn Road, and it's my understanding that this church, some people in this church, God had given them a vision that God wanted to start a church there. Now, you can't point to any page of the Bible that says, I guarantee you, if you go out to Vaughn Road, there will be a church that's planted and it will take root, and for decades to come, it will be of benefit to people. You can't find that in the Bible. And yet they believed that God could do something that they didn't have a specific promise for. And there it is, that this church blessed that part of town. And the gifts that God gave through this church are ongoing, benefiting people who have probably never heard of Trinity Church. And that's the way it's supposed to be, because God gets the glory for all of the gifts. We don't, individually or corporately. It's to God is all the glory. Let me read to you a little bit from Hebrews. This is one of the places where you see some of this. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. I'm going to read to you some of these things. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. Through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise his son from the dead, which figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. By faith, Moses left Egypt. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. What more shall I say? Time fails me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Some of these were tortured, refusing to be let go, so that they may rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. And all these, though commended through their faith, didn't receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He despised the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so God gives these gifts to his people. And tonight we're talking about that gift of faith, to believe something that God is doing in the world or that we long to see done. And I want to encourage you now, as we think about walking this out, in other words, what does it look like? Maybe you wonder if God is giving you, for whatever purpose, the gift of faith. It could be to believe in something like a relationship that you know that is broken to be restored. It can be the gift of faith to pray with boldness and steadfastness that somebody who has wandered away will come back to the faith. It could be to pray with boldness and steadfastness that the children of this town would be reached by Children's Evangelical Evangelistic Fellowship. It could be all manner of things, as varied as is God's grace over his people. I would just say, begin to pray. Begin to pray and begin to hope, and don't be afraid. Believe that God delights to do great things through his people. And I would say this. Last week, Michael said, it's through being involved in the life of the church that you will primarily develop your spiritual gift. And I do think that's right. Do you know that recently I had somebody tell me that they thought they had a certain spiritual gift, and for 3 years they prayed for the opportunity to use it, and would even weep at the thought that they might not get to use it. And they were patient and they waited, and one day through normal church life they were asked, would you do this? And now they thrive in the using of that gift for the good of our church. That the usefulness came through normal church life and just being known and being aware of needs and waiting on God. Here's the things that you can ask. How can I serve this body? What does this body need? You talk to any leaders and they can help you there. What do you enjoy? How's God made you? Seek godly counsel. I had a friend once who was scared to death they were called to the mission field. They didn't want to go. They had no desire to learn any other language. They just figured God doesn't, you know, whatever makes me most unhappy must be what God wants. And they said, well, that's the mission field for me. And they went and met with the leaders of their church. And they said, the leader said, no, nobody wants you over there. You don't have any of the desires to be there. Your heart's not broken for any of the people over there. No, no, no. Love the people that you're with right now. And they were freed by that. Normal church life helped them find what wasn't a calling on their life. All right, let me say this in closing as we move towards the table. God has gifted his church, every one of you. How does he fuel the using of our gift? Because what is not supposed to happen is that we just live off of the energy of using our gifts. Because I'll tell you straightforwardly, God can use your gifts no matter how near or far you are from him. Him using your gift is him deciding he's going to bless other people through you. has nothing to do with us earning it. And that's why we're warned again and again and again, don't live off the fact. Don't let the only fuel you have be that you see God using you. Well, what is the fuel for gospel ministry? It is the love of God in Jesus Christ, and it is nothing else. God has given us His Son as the very power and life of our Christian life and of our ministry. And so that's what the table has to do with our spiritual gifts, that we run to Jesus, we consider Him, who, despising the shame of the cross, considered it joy to go there for you, for me. And it is in His very nourishing of us. That's what happens tonight. The living Christ feeds His people, gives us what we need for life and ministry. And so now, by the power of His Spirit, may He come upon each one of us, that we might know that our sins are forgiven, that there is therefore now no condemnation, and that we are His beloved children and His gifted people to go into this world, not to serve ourselves, but to bring the life and power of the kingdom into other people through the varied gifts that God has given to us.